1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Somebody should talk about the news first. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
I know that ceasefire, right?
No ceasefire. The ground troops went in.
Yeah, they had that. That was a temporary ceasefire. Then those troops went in. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're moving forward with that. And then What was the deal with that Malaysian flight?
They don't know. They don't know who shot it down with a missile, but they're saying it's not one of those guys that carried around on their shoulder. This came from some big machine that somebody knows what they're doing.
Was it Flight 777?
The UK, yeah, the UK missile.
It was that kind of airplane. It was a 777.
Oh,
flying.
Gotcha. Okay.
So
curiously, it had basically the same number of passengers as the one that disappeared.
Oh, my
what?
God.
What?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Think Russia took it down, right?
Well,
Dabu
had a video of saying that it wasn't shot down in the air. It was something happened.
The missile in the sky. 3,300 feet. 30,000 feet, I'm sorry.
He's
it
showing
was shot
videos.
Down.
Wasn't that? There
yeah. I don't know. They're saying a missile hit.
Well, Dabu had a video saying that's false because he showed the footage.
Oh,
nothing.
Wow.
Being exploding in the air and going down, it explodes on the ground.
Oh, I mean, you know,
yeah.
Wow. It's going to take them time to figure this out, but all those poor souls. What's that place they were going to? Some resort, but Abam and blah, 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 blah. I don't know where they were going. I mean, I've never heard of the place.
Trying to blame it on Russia to start the war. They're trying to, like, get the war started. A different thing is what...
Well, it's, yeah.
I mean, I don't know for sure, but I mean, they show you. I watched the video. It's not exploding in the air. It's on the ground that explodes. You see all of a sudden like poof of smoke up from the ground.
Mm.
You don't see it falling from the sky or anything.
Oh, see, I just watched CNN. They said that they shot off one of those missile things, the BUK missiles, and hit it. Oh, you're gonna hear all kinds of stuff until they can get to the bottom
and
of the
who knows the
black
truth.
Box. Yeah, who knows the truth? If it's Russia or the Ukrainians who shot it down.
Or if it was even shot down from the sky, it may have been shot when it got on the ground, but it may not have,
you know, we got to wait and see.
Exactly.
But it's crazy. All those poor people dead. That's the main thing.
The black box.
It sounds like, though, that Ukraine, it does sound like Russia wants to go into the war, though, and this is maybe an excuse or I don't know, something like that.
Yeah.
Well, they said the Ukraine was shooting down other planes all along. Russian planes and stuff, military planes, and then they shot this one down. They think it was a terrible mistake or an error that whoever shot it down, they didn't really want to, but we don't know. We're not going to know.
That's CNN news run by the U.S., the government, so...
who knows? They're all saying the same thing, you know, basically.
Well, yeah. But
we have to wait. We have to wait.
If it's American news, of course they're all saying the same thing because it's
all
corrupt government. But Jerry's an airplane man. Jerry, what do you think about
it? You know, it's just, honestly, the thing that struck me is the most interesting about it, other than obviously it's a bad thing, is that it was Malaysian Airlines Flight 17, and it was shot down on the 17th.
Wow.
And you know, we've seen so many numerical things in the news over time that struck me right away when I realized it was Malaysian Airlines Flight 17. It's like, well, it's the 17th, so
777 plane, right?
And it's a 777 aircraft.
Yeah, that's the 777.
But that's all like, yeah, that's the big deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
717, 777, oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be so hard to know anything over there.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is not probably a place and a time where they're going to do a lot of careful investigation.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a relative black hole of technical information at the moment. And I think that was, if you had a plane and 400 or 290 some bodies to dispose of, that'd be how you do it. I don't know. It'd be interesting to find out if they claim it was the exact same model as the one that disappeared. That plane, they say, was flying from Amsterdam to Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, which is the capital.
Oh, okay.
So it was at cruising altitude. This is not a plane that was taking off or landing. This is a plane that was at 30-some thousand feet at 500 to 600 miles an hour.
Yeah. They said it went too far north. That's why it got kind of mixed up with its location. Because of the
weather. Wonder if there was like a... Oh, well, there's no... Yeah, that's pretty... Suspect of the same amount of people Malaysia, wow. where the other plane supposedly, I mean, there was, like, people, there was, you know, someone, a passenger was on the plane saying that, you know, that he was alive and that they were being held somewhere.
Right.
There's an Air Force base over there somewhere underground that no one knows about. And then all these, yes, who knows? That's a good point, Jerry, good point. A good way to dispose of all these bodies that put them on a plane and have, like, all of a sudden error in the plane and they
Wow.
Mm-hmm. land because there's some kind of thing going on with it and then all of a sudden explodes because there's a bomb or something or shot when it hits the ground to explode.
Yeah.
But there was a guy in Amsterdam, they said, and they showed the picture, and he took a picture of the plane before he got on it, and he said, well, in case this plane disappears, here's a picture of it. So they showed that on CNN, too. So that was weird.
Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
There's a widely dispersed theory that we actually have news organizations that are taking funds directly from the government, and so then you wonder why they do that. And I don't have the direct evidence, so I'll stay out of that discussion, but it's a question. Everything's a question these days.
Yeah. Well, I have an interesting story about a Marine claims he encountered a horrifying demon during death and was rescued by the Archangel, so... this is a pretty good story. It'll take about maybe 3-4 minutes to read, but it's a wow kind of story. If you guys want to hear it.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, yeah, it's pretty. Anybody out there who's on the fence, they ain't going to be on the fence for long, let me tell you. And this was a regular guy. He's a Marine, okay, so he's telling it like it is. It says, it seems like there has been a flurry of testimonies in recent days concerning hell, as venues like YouTube and Christian sites have broadcast accounts of the netherworld. For years, heavenly visions dominated, and they still constitute the majority of near-death experiences. But sobering brushes with death that involve regions below the netherworld have gained currency, granting a more rounded picture of the afterlife, none more compelling than that presented in an enthralling, detailed description. Wait till you hear this story. Carried over various internet blogs by a Marine from Louisiana named Sean Weed, who says he was out of his body and heading for that other place during an 8-minute death episode caused by a prank gone horribly, terrifyingly wrong. And this is what happened. To recount. On a break from the Marines and relaxing, chilling, with two Marine buddies, one a corporal and the other an S2 intelligent agent, Weed and his friends were goofing around, taking pictures of a noose that was placed over his neck when caught from behind by one of the men who thought it would be even funnier to tighten the noose a bit. Weed was suddenly unable to inhale, unbeknown to his colleagues, who had snapped a few photographs of the gag and thought Weed was prolonging the stunt. But he was anything but. Weed found himself unable to breathe. Desperate, the Marine had tried to loosen the noose strangling him. That proved impossible. Suddenly, he found himself there in the room, but in an entirely new way, now staring at his own body in the same room as his Marine buddies, who took an appallingly long while to notice that he was unconscious and in trouble. His spirit had left his body. With equal suddenness, Weed next found himself out of the room and in a totally unfamiliar, otherworldly place with darkness so thick and so black it nearly had a texture, a vast region or plain that seemed to have no ground or floor, and yet with something that he was standing on, like air but hard, a place he didn't recognize at all. No light, no wind, no sound, standing on nothing, as if in a giant warehouse. The only light was a dim light coming from his own form. He felt stuck despite trying to stride toward to find an exit. I had no clue, he says, was where I was. I began to realize that I was standing in between two parallel planes that stretch on forever, and there's no walls, there's no doors, there's no windows. I'm trapped in between these two parallel planes, and there's no way out. From that point, I became very scared. But before I could even think of another thought, I was snatched off by my feet by a very, very large demon. And, of course, for me, I didn't know what had happened. It was like getting hit by a truck. and having no clue that it was ever coming. This thing had come upon me so fast and caught me with such complete surprise and was so big, I can't possibly begin to describe what it feels like to be in the grips of something that big. I have this shooting pain from my head to my feet, like a bolt of electricity, but not stopping. And I had this pounding sensation, this hurting, pounding sensation from my left shoulder, and I saw these fingers that came down to roughly to the bottom of my chest. The depth of its hands went from the side of my neck and the breadth of my shoulder. That was the width of his hands. The color of his skin was black and red. I don't know if it was red and with black shadows moving across it or red with a black oily substance like a cloud moving beneath the skin. So it makes it have a perception of moving while standing still, like the sky with clouds moving. I was watching these giant red fingers with blackness moving through them, and this thing was crushing my left shoulder. This thing had me and was just smiling at me, waiting for me to look at it. When I looked over my shoulder, this thing was grotesque. It sounds even more crazy, but it was like 13 feet tall. Anything you want to know in this place, you can ask it in your mind, and the answer is given to you. When I thought how big it was, 13 feet came to me. All I know, it was huge, ripped through with muscles, no hair, no beard, just completely hairless, excuse me, and humanoid in shape. Two legs, two arms, one mouth, excuse me, one nose, two ears. The differences were this. Where our eyes were white, its were yellow. And where our irises are green or blue or brown, its irises were gold and diamond-shaped like a snake's. It had a really wide, flat nose and gleaming white teeth, perfectly shaped like a human's. The only thing strange about the teeth is where we have the canines, and it had two tusks coming out of its mouth like a boar, a wild pig. The thing picked me up like I weighed nothing to it, and it was taking me along for a ride. I only looked at its face for a second. That's all it took. As a man, I'm not afraid of any other man on the face of this earth. I will fight any man. I don't care how much bigger they are than me. But this thing, there was no fighting it. It was far too big. It was like it weighed 3,000 or 4,000 pounds. You could take one of me and put another on top of me, and you still wouldn't be as tall. This thing had me by the shoulder and was moving at a very fast velocity. It felt like 100 miles an hour, and it had complete control. There was nothing at all I could do to get away. I had seen that face for only a second, and it was enough to scare me. I'm pretty sure it would scare anyone. All hope drained from Weed. It seemed like it was all over. I think that the strength of hope is with God, and without God and any hope you don't really have a reason to live and to fight, and you don't have any strength whatsoever, he says in the video, which you can view below. Without hope, you don't have strength. After hope left me and it was taking me wherever it wanted to take me, the thought came to him that they were headed from the outer darkness, what he later wondered is what the Bible calls Abraham's bosom, before the fiery part, the fire and brimstone of hell. This confused me. He was no saint. He was indifferent, or what the Bible says about being lukewarm. He drank like a fish many nights and smoked some cigarettes, slept around, who knows what else. But he didn't consider himself a bad person. He was no murderer. He never molested a child. He occasionally went to church. And so he found it morally appalling that he was being taken to hell by a towering demon. Sounds preposterous until you watch and listen to Weed tell it. Fantasy? Like a comic book drama? If so, it's one that makes this tough-looking Marine weep at several junctures. That crying begins when he describes, starting around 52 minutes into the video, how he was rescued by an angel. I was just an average guy, he said. I never pictured myself as bad. As he thought such things, he saw a pinprick of light. As I was thinking this to myself, that I'm not such a bad guy, that's when the light appeared, he said, and I looked up at it, like a star far off in the night, something so tiny and insignificant, far away, that it couldn't possibly help me. Then it moved off to the left a little bit and went back to the right. It moved, and I wondered, what is that? And I began focusing on it, and it came rushing at me like the only way I could describe it, the speed of this thing was like a bolt of lightning. It came at me so fast that one second it was a tiny little star in the night sky, and the next there was this blinding white light, and his hand was reaching down to me, and it was an angel. There he begins to weep. My hand just reached up and grabbed his hand. My reflex was to grab his hand. And as soon as I touched this hand, all three of us were motionless and standing on the ground that you can't see. The beast, this demon, still had me by the shoulder, and instinctively I knew to stand still because I knew if I moved, it would have ripped my shoulder and arm off and beaten me with it. It was just that massively strong. There was something in me telling me, don't move, don't move. I was just standing there looking up at this angel, and this angel was like 9 feet 6 inches tall and had brown wavy hair pushed to the back and had olive-colored skin. It wasn't really white. It wasn't really black. It was somewhere in between. But the light that was emanating from within it was so bright white, it practically overshadowed the color of its skin. I say it because it wasn't really a he or a she, although the body was shaped like a he, like a male, and when you looked at its face, it's like the most handsome man you ever have seen combined with the most beautiful woman you have ever seen. I mean, when you look at this angel, you think, wow, is he beautiful? I know this is a funny thing to say. In the vernacular, a man is handsome and a woman is beautiful, but this angel was just beautiful. Its eyes were blue. I mean, perfect blue. If someone took a piece of the sky and put it in its eyes, or a cup from the ocean and put it in its eyes, there were no flaws in them. Just perfect, just beautiful. He was shaped like a man with a chest and strong arms and an Adam's apple, a strong man, more like a fitness trainer strong, not bodybuilder strong, like the demon with muscles popping from where they shouldn't be. But you can tell this angel was there to fight, and he had on a white robe cut in a V-neck in front and a gold along the edge of his collar, like embroidered, and this robe was kind of like a white Roman tunic that came just below his knees and elbows. And I was just blown away by it. I'm looking up at it and blown away by its brightness and beauty, and at the same time frozen in place, and you could feel the anger from the demon like heat. It looked like around to see what had stopped it. It turned around and was ready to fight. Make no mistake, this demon was ready to get down in the worst way. But as it whipped around, this angel, its speed was just incredible, and it just rushed forward and with open palm hit this demon and had to angle its arm upward at about the height of its head to hit this demon in the chest and hit this demon with such power. I can't describe the fierceness of it, the power of this thing. It hit this demon with such force that its hand was literally ripped from my shoulder and it had no clue what had hit him. By the time it turned its head, it was already hit. And this demon was hit with such force that it literally folded up and flew backwards. The angel allegedly, according to the Marine, then called weed by a long mystical name. It called me this name to let me know more or less that I still had a chance to make it into heaven, that I had a heavenly name, and that I squandered it, wasted it, and if this had been my ultimate time, that's where I would have stayed. When he called me this long name, it was a feeling of home. The name was just as quickly removed from his memory. It looked at me, and it began to speak at me, and its voice was like a waterfall, if a waterfall could speak, like a rushing sound. Sean, I understand it was converting my understanding to understanding its language. It didn't descend down to my broken language of English. It elevated me up to understand its language, and he looked at me and said, "Hello, my name is Michael. Weed weeps again." Immediately, I knew this was the archangel of the Bible. The demon was trying to get back, claims Weed, and the angel gave me a saddened look, and he said, "Your time has not come yet. It's time for you to go." Immediately, the Marine was back in his body as immediately as he had left. Sean opened his eyes. He came back to life. There he was, back in his room with his friends, lying on the sofa they had placed him on. He said it took 20 minutes to recover use of his body as they tried to revive him successfully, happily, for all three. Can you imagine? Weed's message, devote life to God as much as you possibly can. It's not enough to say you believe. You must believe. It's not enough to be a killer or an abuser. You must be holy. If that makes a Bible-thumping Christian, so be it, says the Marine. I'd rather be a Bible-thumping Christian than in the middle, because I know where that gets you, Revelation 3:20. We don't realize the reality of the place. I was at the doorstep of hell. I know for certain that it does exist, because that's where, before Michael, it was taking me. So that was the story. Yeah.
Wow. Amazing. So amazing. Amazing, huh, Jerry and everybody? Amazing.
Oh, wow. I'm hitting it. Woo! Don't want to go there.
Incredible details. And
yes. A Marine. A Marine doesn't fool around. I mean, he's a guy's guy, you know? So for him to weep and say you have to believe, you really have to believe, that's coming from somebody who, you know, who is more proud and more, you know how men are, you know.
Well, that's why the Lord told me he gave him that experience. Because the Lord had told me when you were reading it, the reason why he gave it to him is because his whole attitude was, I can beat up any guy, I'm tough, and so the Lord wanted to show him what tough really was.
Military
know?
Guy. And then
and you
he
can see
he
in
saw
the spiritual
what happened.
Realm, he, you know, like in the spiritual realm, he was zero. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't say anything. Useless. We're useless in the spiritual realm. That's why we have to use Jesus' name, because otherwise we can't fight any enemy ourselves. We can't do it. We're useless. You know?
I just briefly, I remember a story of a guy, normal guy like this guy, who found himself in hell and people starting to pull at him and tear him to pieces. And he says, the song. And he didn't know Jesus really, but he believed in him, sort of. And he started to sing that little song, Jesus loves me, this sign up. And he sang the whole thing. And a pinprick of light, and there came the Lord, pulled him up.
That's awesome. Hey, we've got Katie on the line.
Hi, Katie.
I think. Hi, Katie. Katie, you there?
Hey,
who are you?
How are
you? I can sort of hear you.
Okay,
I can
honey,
barely
you
hear you, honey.
You.
What's going on? Are you in the basement or what? Where'd your parents take
you? Can y'all hear me now?
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
You're in.
We're worried about you.
How are y'all doing?
Okay, how are you, honey?
I'm pretty good, just hanging in there.
Did you hear that, Katie, the thing that Pat read?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, good.
Judy said something. What, Judy?
I'm right here. Hello?
Oh, Judy, hey.
Yeah.
Hi, sweetheart. Yeah, I was hosting, and my niece and my son were wrestling each other and got really crazy, so I brought them out to the pool before they punched holes in the wall. Yeah.
That's funny.
11 and 12-year-olds.
Did you get my text message?
No, I didn't. When did you? Oh, in the movie theater. Yeah, you texted me, I think. Wait. Yeah.
Yeah. So I made a video about it. The Lord told me last night he's coming now.
Yeah.
And he said that last night. Judy called me, and when I woke up, when she called me, that's the last thing he said to me. I was like, whoa.
Wow.
Yeah, I called her like at 1 in the morning. I forgot there was a time difference, and I was calling her before bed. And then I'm glad I woke her up because he said, I'm coming now.
Wow.
Yeah, I've heard today. Wow. He said soon, very soon. Yeah.
Wow.
Joe, are you on the line?
Exactly.
I'm sorry, Katie.
Oh, go ahead.
That was awesome. I was like, Joe, you had a big revelation today, right?
Yeah, I'm on the line. I've had so many today.
Joe.
It's been one of those days.
Tell us, Joe.
I honestly don't even know where to begin. I have to drive my brother-in-law right now. I will tell you soon. It's all starting, like, numbers he's been having me working on are all lining up, like, all before I even turned on the news this morning, like, everything's happening, it's all happening, that's really all I can say about it, and that's all there is to say. I mean, I don't know what else to say, like,
You were saying something about how 100 years ago, World War One.
Oh, and just the dates, you know, everyone's talking about the 28th. You know, the 28th of this month will be the 100th year anniversary of the start of World War One. So that's something else, which I didn't even think of. The Holy Spirit just always had me in the year 1914 and told me today, look up the date, you know, in 1914 that World War One started. And I did that. It was July 28th.
Wow, that's interesting. That woman from the IMF, in her speech, she mentioned the 100th anniversary of World War One, and she didn't mention the date that it started.
Yeah, it started July 28th will be the 100th, you know, it'll be one Bible generation since that started. You know, it's just been a false flag attack, obviously, today. I've been watching Al Jazeera news and tearing apart the American coverage, so, And, you know, Israel's in, great. There's so much going on. It's absurd. But as far as, you know, the main news source, the Lord, you know, he told me a couple of days ago that we get. So I'm standing by waiting like the rest of us, you know.
Yeah, God told me it is on. I forget how many days ago. Do you remember, Jerry? He told me it is on.
Yeah, it's on. Wow. Yeah, that's right.
Well, he told me to pretend like I'm in the Hunger Games, and I can ask for whatever I want, and he'll give it to me.
Oh, wow.
Good.
Ask. Love that. Start out, then.
Ask for all of us.
Yeah, exactly that. We'll send you our list.
Poor Jerry.
I know, and I saw some article about, it was a really good article. It talked about all these dates and everything, but it mentioned how it did, like, mathematically it was doing all this stuff, but it basically was saying that the rapture would be this summer because of the fact, it had to be based on the fact that we were right before the Great Tribulation started, after the birth pains, and that it had to be this summer, the way they figured the future dates of the second coming and all that stuff. It was, like, all mathematical, but it just said it has to happen this summer. I was like, wow. Okay.
Really? When does summer end, Keith?
I think it's the 20. I think it's the day before Rosh Hashanah.
It's like August the 22nd. It's like the 21st.
September.
Right.
So it's Rosh Hashanah, so we can.
August?
No, I thought it was. Is it August?
Yeah.
I mean,
I
heard
it
was September, though. I think Christina Williams sent me. I don't know.
I'll
it
Google
sounds,
it, everybody.
It's
you go ahead and do that.
There you go.
Yeah, please Google.
The autumn equinox is on the 23rd of September.
See, I told you.
Oh,
autumn. Rosh Hashanah. This article was saying it has to happen. Like,
yeah, and Rosh Hashanah begins with sundown on the 24th. Which
see,
is
we're rolling.
A full moon.
A lot of
summer ends on
four.
Tuesday, September 23rd.
Yes.
Okay.
68 days.
See? Plus,
wow.
If you look at this other article that I had posted in the Facebook, if you look at the red blood moons, there's six full moons before each one, and it's 666. So these are... The numbers is, like, real interesting what's going on this year and next year. It's all about the crazy stuff going on. So, bottom line, I remember I said, everybody put it in there, I mark it down. I said, remember, we're going to be raptured by Feast of Trumpets or earlier, no later than that. That's my, I never make a guess on dates. Well, that's my guess, that's my estimate, that's what I, the Lord's showing me the puzzle pieces. So, that's what I'm saying, and it's going to happen, you know.
And I say today, so you're right. Today or before Feast of Trumpets.
Anytime. No later than FOT. That's
I,
it.
I agree with you there.
God always, like when he showed me the rapture in 2012, I went on my videos and I said, the rapture is going to happen in 2012, September, Feast of Trumpets, for sure. He never told me it was going to be rapture. What he does is he shows me the puzzle pieces. He'll, if I look at an event in the world, he'll say, okay, Keith, pay attention to this event right here. And I'll go, okay, that's a puzzle piece. So then I put it in place. He'll show me all the events, and the only place the puzzle that has to go back in place, obviously it has to be the rapture, because everything else around it is pointing to it. So he's starting to show me events like that he did in 20, and then, of course, we didn't get raptured, but we actually, I went to heaven for 12 hours and showed me it was delayed. So I was like, okay, that makes sense. But this time he's showing me there's no delay, and he's showing me the puzzle pieces again. So I'm like, okay, here we go. The puzzle pieces are starting to come together again. He's showing me, watch this, pay attention to that. And so that's why I'm saying we will be gone by then. We will, you know. So it's fine. It's right. Anytime between now and then.
What do you all think about the Malaysia
now.
Flight?
Mystery right now.
We were chatting about that, kid. Yeah. Jerry was talking about it. So.
I think it's a little bit much to be coincidence. 2777, both Malaysia planes. I saw the footage on Al Jazeera News, unedited. And they just showed an explosion from the ground and, like, threw some toilet paper up in the air. Right. So,
So what country did it, Joe, what country did it explode in? Like, what country?
Ukraine.
Did it
23 miles from the Russian border in Ukraine is where, they, placed it. They're blaming Buk missiles, which is a four-band missile shooting off of a tracked vehicle.
Yeah.
Which it takes some skill to fire these missiles. Not like you can hand the system over to, at just anyone involved. You got to code in and stuff like that. So it's, these things also fly, faster than the speed of sound. There's no seeing it coming. There's no doing anything. But also the way that missile would work, it would just be a heat sinker working on radar or that, and would just probably take out an engine or a wing. Both wings are on the ground. I don't know. It's just all very, very suspect.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just sad when the president got on, too, in the news. I mean, he started his... Did you guys see that? It was, like, disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
He was, like, laughing and hugging and, like, oh, yeah, by the way, and just the way he worded it.
Really?
The exact word, yeah.
Our so-called president?
Yeah, they brought it in live. It was great watching Al Jazeera News because they brought it in for, like, 2 minutes and then instantly cut it out. It was like, well, he's not saying anything. It's so great.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was, but what he did was just callous, cold, was messed up.
He just put some more sanctions on Russia and whatever. So and then this.
Something else they're reporting too. While the plane was supposedly actually struck by the missile, President Clinton was on the phone with Putin.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah,
that's even more out of the ordinary.
Mm.
We've got a new caller here. I think we should find out who it is. It's area code 909. 909?
Hi.
Hi.
It's Veronica and Eric. We're old-timers in the Raptor-centric.
Hi, honey.
Hello.
Hi, Veronica.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Jerry.
Hi. Oh, hi, Jerry.
Hi.
Oh, I just wanted to share a dream with you guys I just had recently because me and my husband, Eric, have been praying a lot, and I've been getting a lot of mood swings because I'm pregnant. So I recently had a dream 2 days ago, and my husband was praying for me because I was falling back a lot because my family was pulling me back a lot, and they were taking me away from God. So I had a dream, and me and my husband were in the car, and this girl, she had a friend, and this girl was in the back of the car saying that, she was saying, Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you need to believe. And my husband was saying to me, oh, why don't you believe? Like, you need to show me that you believe. And I was telling him, I do believe. And she gave us these little pins for, like, our baby. And she said, oh, it's going to be a boy, and it's going to be a godly man when he grows. Not when he grows, but when he's in heaven. And I'm like, okay, well, that's weird. And then we went, all of a sudden, it wasn't even an explosion. Like, all this lava came out, and we started going on the roof and everything, and then we told God, like, can you please, like, if he saves me and my family, just I'll be with you if you save us. And all of a sudden, everything else was melted around us, and then except these two things we're sitting on. They were just standing up, and there was no way they could stand up. It was just like a stair thing, and my husband was just saying, oh, he's like, you need to believe because this is not the only thing that's going to happen. There's more things to come to the world. And my husband started glowing, and he felt like the rapture is imminent, and then I woke up. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, I got so scared.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Thank you for sharing.
So,
no problem.
That's really nice for sharing. Thank you. So does that sort of mean to you that you think some kind of volcanic eruption is associated with the rapture, or do you think that was just a symbol of...
I honestly think that I thought, because I started praying after when I woke up, and I just thought that was the thing I was thinking, like, would lava happen and then the rapture comes? But I think God was trying to tell me through my husband that I think that's what the catastrophes would happen after the rapture would happen. Like, you know, when he would take us up, that's all the catastrophes that are going to happen in the world, and it's just not that one. There's many more to come.
That's probably right. I know, you know, there's so many that people have seen and been given messages about. And, the lid is, he's keeping the lid on until he pulls us out, and I don't know him, and, you know. So he clearly was getting you. Had you been thinking that it could happen any time already?
Now I do, but my husband's really strong with it. He's like, oh, the rapture's coming. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, right. And then that's when my husband started telling God, like, you know, like he started praying to him, and I heard him, like, oh, like, God, like, he started praying to God for me, like, you know, show her that the rapture is imminent, show her that, you know, you're really close and it's not just a joke. She needs to take it serious if she wants to go, because I don't want her being left behind and everything.
Yeah.
So then that's when that same day I had a dream, and then that's when I woke up and I told my husband.
Great.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. He's speaking through the two of you together. I think that's so cool.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you, Sharon.
Well, thank you for letting me share. I've been trying to call you guys. Like, try to do it yesterday, but I didn't make it in time. I'm like, oh, they're so good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
We're so glad
you
got
through.
Well,
you shared tonight. That's good.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for having me.
Oh, thank you for calling, honey.
You're welcome.
No problem.
Thank you for telling. Sharing.
Hang in there.
I will.
That's right, the baby that you're going to be having in heaven, because you'll...
No. Yeah.
Keith, did you have other news that you were going to... that you had for us?
No, because I've got to make dinner right now. So I have to get...
Okay.
I have to leave after this to go to a healing thing. But...
oh, good.
I'm sure Tana will got the news. Or Tana, go to End Time Headlines.
Someone's messing. Either God doesn't want me to be on my, because I spend a lot of time in chat. God, all my computers are not letting me get anywhere. So.
Oh, I can do it. I can do it. I
yeah, Katie's
it.
The news girl.
Okay.
She's the
Katie, go to
oh, yeah, Katie,
go
for
to
it.
Katie, go headlines on Facebook. Type in Hentai
okay.
Headlines.
Israel launched, you know, a large-scale ground operation in the Gaza Strip. Israeli military launched a large-scale ground operation in the Gaza Strip today, reportedly involving thousands of troops backed by tanks and bulldozers. The office of Benjamin Netanyahu announced he had instructed the Israel Defense Forces to launch the operation to destroy underground tunnels that reach into Israel. Iraqi Kurds start pumping from seized oil field. Official Iraqis on an I don't know how to say this. Hold on one second. I lost my spot.
That's okay. I'll just say while you're looking, Katie, that Leah's on the line. She's called in. Hi, Leah.
Hi, Leah.
Hey, Leah.
Hi, Leah.
Okay, so I don't know what this is about. Iraqi's autonomous region of Kurdistan on Thursday popped yesterday on experimental 20,000 barrels of light crude from an oil field recently seized from the federal authorities, an official said. HIV diagnosed hit a 20-year high. HIV diagnoses have reached a 20-year high in Australia, and there are fears 1 in 7 people with the virus do not know they have it. Let's see. Microsoft has cut 18,000 jobs this year. As it chops Nokia, Honduras wants mini Marshall Plan for U.S. aid on migrants. Edward Snowden did a great deal and deserves protection from prosecution. Typhoon takes time, killing 38 in Philippines. Earthquake map has best risk. Japan earthquake again today.
a direct pressure. What is that?
Those are Pat's birdies.
Oh, my birdies. Oh, can you mute me, honey? Go ahead.
let's see. AAA warns airlines to avoid Ukraine because of conflict. The Ebola is the highest number of deaths, prompting increased efforts to contain the death rate. New risk of earthquake for half of U.S. That's pretty big. A risk of earthquake for half the U.S. A new federal earthquake shaking hazard just a bit for about half of the United States and lowers it for nearly a quarter of the nation. There was a 4.0 earthquake in Kansas today. There was 20 signs of the epic drought in western United States. Apocalyptic, and that's all for today. Yeah, there's a lot going on. It's just kind of hard to keep up, really.
Yeah.
It's also going to be super. If you look at the water trends, we always get an El Nino when we have years of dry weather because it balances. So this fall is going to be mega, mega wet, lots of rain everywhere, crazy. But we'll be out of here, thank God. But, I mean, the rest of them are going to hit with lots of rain and part of that end time craziness, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've had Dave call in, I think. Dave, is that you? It is Dave, brother. How you doing there?
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave. Very well. How are you?
Good. Good. Hello, everybody. I won't hold you long, I hope, but just wanted to share something. I had a dream when I was a little younger Christian some time ago, but thought I might share this with you, if I may. It was a rapture dream.
Sure.
And it's a short dream, but it was in full color. And in the dream, I was taken off the earth backwards. It wasn't like, you know, I didn't have white it was more like the Lord wanted me to see what was going to happen kind of a thing. But he was also showing me that I was removed from it. And I was taken off backwards. I was sitting in some sort of a chair. And I was being taken off the earth. I saw the continents. I could see the outline of continents and the oceans and the entire earth. And as I was far removed, but still within good eye shot of what was going on, I began to see these lights that were headed towards one another from other parts of the globe. And I knew that the Lord was speaking to me at that moment, and that was it was like a nuclear missile exchange that was taking place. And so, you know, I held on to that. I haven't really told anybody about it except maybe my wife, I guess. But I wanted to share that with you. And because, once again, in my opinion, that's showing another dream that the church will be removed before the Great Tribulation. And, if, you know, if a nuclear exchange of that caliber, which I saw, doesn't start the day of the Lord or the Great Tribulation, I don't know what would. But we were being, you know, removed. And so the Lord allowed me to see that. And then just something in the scripture real quick, just something to kick around for people who are not convinced yet that we'll be gone before. I'm reading out of Matthew 24, verse 38, which reads, "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying," I would underline marrying for a second, "and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Paul wrote to Timothy that in the last days a time would come that where marriage would be forbidden. And yet here, at this particular coming, they're marrying, eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. And so it appears that during the reign of the Antichrist in the Great Tribulation, because God sanctioned marriage, because it's a picture of Jesus and us, that the Antichrist is going to abolish it and it'll be absolutely forbidden. And yet Jesus said he's coming at a time when they will be marrying. How can it be both ways unless it's two different settings? So he's making it clear he's coming at a time when they know not, like we're living in now, folks.
Yeah.
They know something's wrong because their pocketbook is being affected around the world, but they don't understand the signs of the soon coming absolute horrible judgment. And they knew not about that. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away.
Yeah.
So also should be the coming of the Son, you know, Son of Man be. But anyway, I just wanted to point that out for people that believe we're going through the Great Tribulation. Jesus is coming at a time when you're still able to marry. Because they'll be drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. And yet later on, a time comes when it's absolutely forbidden. So he can't come then because it's forbidden later on during the Great Tribulation. This is at a time when you're still allowed to marry. Does anybody understand what I'm trying to relay?
Oh,
yeah. I don't know.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. No. You know, it's funny. It's interesting. Well, we know how God works, but I was actually just thinking along these lines last night. You know, the Spirit is definitely leading just the way we often find that. I was just thinking about this last night and the whole marriage thing and the way it's being attacked with the gay agenda politically, that actual thought just crossed my mind at that time last night.
If husband and wife is illegal in California, then it could be illegal everywhere pretty soon.
Yeah,
you're right. That's right.
Spouse, yeah, didn't they?
Yeah.
Well. Yeah, we know. I mean, we know from the scripture that it's going to be forbidden. It will be extremely illegal. It will be absolutely forbidden, which is not in our day right now. And so a time will come, and it can't be. You can't have it both ways. I mean, the world can't have it both ways, and we can't fudge the scripture.
Right.
And so to me, it makes it very clear that there are two comings, and one of them, the first one, he comes and he's appearing. It'll be at a time when they know not, and that's the time we're in. Even in the church, as so many, as you well know, it's hard to wake people up. You get the deer in the headlights look all the time, you know. And
absolutely.
You've all gone through that, I'm sure.
Well, at the end of the tribulation, I don't think anybody is going to be marrying. I mean, partying.
I don't think they're going to be.
Right.
You're right.
Right,
and I don't think they're going to be building. When you read the vials and the bowls and the seals and all of that, tell me how they're going to be marrying, building, and planting, you know, and all this kind of stuff, because
they're
going to
be screaming.
Yeah,
right.
Look at all those judgments.
Right.
So this has
right.
to be, this has to be before the Great Tribulation, because these things will not be happening clearly in the Great Tribulation. So this first appearing
right.
is prior to the Great Tribulation. Some of you are already familiar with this.
I believe the North American Union will be blown up. I mean, it's going to be blown up. Canada, us, Mexico, it's going to be gone. So the whole world's going to change. I mean,
I
had a question. I mean, if America is decimated, how will Obama still be the Antichrist?
What I've always wondered, too. And a lot of people, that's why I don't
believe
it's
going to be the president of New World Order.
He goes to Hawaii.
Or Europe. Michelle, if you notice what's going on with Obama now, though, he's superseding our laws with the UN laws. Everything is UN now. We have to follow the UN. He says our laws are all under the UN now. So he's already saying that the UN runs everything. He's going to move right into the UN position as the Antichrist.
Because U.S. isn't there, he'll still be the president because no one will have impeached him or voted him out. He'll still be the president. There's going to be some U.S.
Yeah.
Just hope Yellowstone doesn't go.
The article was interesting, too, about the partying, because one of the things about Noah is how they'll be partying in that day. And it's interesting because if you look at the worldwide party circuit with the circuit, which is the trance music, which was a big trend since, 2000, the trance music, which is the euphoric music they play and have huge, huge dance parties, is now the biggest in the world. So the dance party scene is now the biggest in the world that it's ever been in history. So you can see that is like a prophecy the Lord had showed me is already being fulfilled. Interesting. Plus, it also says you don't want to have a baby during the tribulation.
Right.
And we're having a huge baby boom like never before with all the celebrities and with everybody. So that's another prophecy the Lord shows me. These are sound silly, but they're actual prophecies of what's going on right now between the party scene and the marrying and the babies. It's all happening right now. So that's all prophecy being fulfilled.
Katie, were you going to say something about the president and all that? You started to speak, and then I cut you off.
I was just saying my dad always says he doesn't believe that Obama's the Antichrist because he knows that we're going to get nuked. And I was like, well, Dad, you know, he definitely is the Antichrist, you know. But, Keith said, he's with the UN, so he's not going to be in America.
he's going to be in charge of the United Nations. But America will still be here.
Yeah.
We're nuked doesn't mean it's not going to be America, but he'll see.
Partly America.
He's not in America half the time anyways. Every time something's going on, they're like, he's over on this tropical resort somewhere.
Exactly.
Hawaii.
And who knows where he really is? Who knows? I mean.
Yeah. But, you know, and also in that thing, it says a time when we know not. He's coming a time when we not. Well, we know when Feast of Trumpets is, so it would be a time when we know not.
Right.
Yeah, the
right.
Feast of Trumpets is also called, remember, Feast of Trumpets is called the feast that no man knows the day or hour. That's how the Jews call it, that feast, the feast that no man knows the day or hour. So they're not even sure when it happens because you have to go outside and look for the new moon or whatever. So, again, that still implies we don't know the day or hour, so you don't know exactly when it starts. Now we know because of the calendars and stuff, but that's what they label it as, so still interesting.
That's true, yep. That part's definitely true. They do call it that.
And it's 8:29.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Or 5:29.
They're telling me 10 seconds, except for the archive. So,
love everybody.
Says, thank
God.
Thank you, everybody.
Love your time, Jerry.
Okay, love everybody.
JoJo.
Love you all.
Roman, see you in the air.
In the air.
Hey,
everybody.
Love you guys.
Love you guys.
Young
Most
Facebook.
Of all, we love you, Jesus. We praise you. We worship you and can't wait till you come to get
yes.
us.
Amen.
Can't wait to get married. Amen.
We love you, Father.
Okay, guys.
Okay. See you in Facebook. Wait, you guys don't know what that is. It's on a see you in Facebook.
Yeah. I've heard of it.
Jerry now knows what it is. He didn't know before.
That's right. Okay, everybody.
Jerry,
thank you.
I want you to look up that plane tonight. Your project tonight is look up the plane stuff. Okay, full project stay up all night.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I'm wondering if there's any good information, but I'll see. I'll do it.
Cool.
Okay. Well,
cool.
Right. In the air, everybody.
We'll be in the air. He'll still be doing the plane thing.